Hey, Hidden Creek. It's Sunday morning, May 24th, 2020, Memorial Day weekend. It's our 11th week of experiencing church in a way we aren't used to. We miss you so much. Thanks for being with us this morning. Let's talk about something that is on all of our minds in one way or the other as we continue to experience the realities of being apart, and as we try to wrap our heads around what being together will look like in the days to come. Let's talk about relationships. We're missing our relationships, aren't we? Scripture's full of relationships. Actually, Scripture's all about our relationship with God. This morning, we are going to spend just a few minutes in the book of Ephesians. This is a letter to the Ephesian church written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Ephesus was a huge city and was the epicenter for the worship of most Greek and Roman gods. For about 2 years, Paul had experienced a great missionary effort in Ephesus, the result of which was the birth of the church in Ephesus. The first half of the letter we're learning about today is what to know. Paul reminds this new church that has sprung up out of everything they thought they knew about gods and worship, of their first and sound doctrine based in Christ. First, he says, followers of Christ, we must fully understand who God declares us to be. We must also be grounded in the knowledge of God's accomplishment for us all. The second half of the book is about how to live in the light of the fact that we, Gentiles, are now included in God's family, relationships. For the Ephesian church and for all of us, when we become children of God by asking Jesus to be our Savior and the Lord of our lives, we are instantly changed. And yet, we read in chapter 4, we are continually to put off our old selves and put on our new selves. And in the very middle of all this information Paul is sharing about how to live, we come to the meat in the sandwich, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is a good time to open your Bible if you have it. If you look in your Bible, you may want to start in the back because it's pretty far back there. There's some letters back there, and you want to go slowly because the letters are small. And you might just, like I did, flip right past them. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here are the relationships. The two things, the two commands we want to cover today are one, our relationship with God, and two, relationship with others. Let's look at command number one, imitate God. Paul encourages us to imitate God. This isn't an option, it's not a good idea, it's a command, imitate God. We know there are things about God we can't ever attain. In Psalm 139, I talked about a few weeks ago, it showed us some of those things. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He never changes. As humans, we can't ever obtain any of those, can we? However, there are things we can imitate. His love, his patience, his goodness, kindness, those things. Those are all wonderful things, aren't they? Yet, in our lives, and especially right now, we might be a little off the beam, and those things can be hard to come by. How are we ever going to be able to be those things? Paul gives us a clue. It's about the mindset, the reason that ought to motivate Christians towards obedience. The reason is, believers in Christ enjoy a father-child relationship with God. Children imitate their parents and or the people who love them and care for them. You don't have to tell them to do it. It just happens. Why? Because those people are the biggest influence in their lives. They're their heroes. They're perfect in every way they think. This is our oldest grandson, Ezra. His dad, my best son-in-law, can do anything. He can fix, figure out, build, create anything. He has always let Ezra hang around and help him. Family visits with my daughter and her family are quite often. And one evening, when Ezra was about 3, As I drove into the driveway after work, Ezra greeted me alone with a full-size wrench in one little hand and a real screwdriver in his other little dirty hand. Needless to say, I was alarmed. When I asked him calmly what he might be doing, he said, "Tighten, Nana, tighten." So I got out of the car to follow him, and there in the driveway was his tricycle turned upside down. He was working on it. Evidently, something was loose. He was imitating his father. Now they're bass fishermen together. A child naturally seeks to copy what he or she sees in a loving father. Believers in Jesus are likewise to copy what they learn about God. We are to resemble him in every grace, and especially in his love and in his pardoning goodness. God constantly tells us of his love for us. Be like a child, caught up in the wonder of your father. Be imitators of him. Follow his example. As dearly loved children, follow God's example because we're his kids. Command number 2, relationship with others. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. What's your love for others look like? What's my love for others look like? Do we imitate God in our love? One commentator wrote, "Godlike grace and love should influence our entire being," which is what it means to walk in it. It is the principle from which we act. It directs the ends at which we aim our lives. We need to be mindful of the sincerity of our love for one another because, reason 2, Jesus gave himself up on the cross for us. That is the example of the depth of God's love for us. Jesus brought the most free and generous love that ever there was, and he loves us with that love. He loves us as God's children. And because we're God's children, we are sharers in that love and sharers of the comfort of it. We are to share that love with one another. Christ gave himself to die for us as a sacrifice to rid us of guilty sin. How could we not, in turn, walk in love? Further at the end of verse 2, he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus' offering pleased God in every way. It's not a secret that I like my coffee in the morning. Often some of my first words in the morning are, "Is there a cup of coffee in there somewhere?" It's not just the taste of the hot, spicy brew that brings coffee to my mind when my brain is all foggy. There are many, many memories attached to that smell. My parents sitting at the table in the morning, a quick break on the long road to Oklahoma every year. My grandfather sitting me up on the counter as a very small girl at 4:30 in the morning, waiting for the percolator to finish so we could have our coffee before we went fishing. Many, many times being with my family and friends, and all of you. Yes, there's a long and delicious history between me and the smell of coffee brewing. The fragrance of coffee is sweet in my mind. Scripture tells us there are fragrances that please God too. In the Old Testament, aromatic incense was constantly burned on the golden altar inside the Holy of Holies, which probably smelled pretty fantastic, but it was also what the incense represented, the sweet smell of his people's prayers that pleased God. In addition, Israel was required to sacrifice certain kinds of animals to atone for their sins. It was this fragrance of repentance that pleased God. God found Jesus giving himself up for us on the cross, wholly satisfying and complete in every way. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself us for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In my mind, this brings up a few questions. How are our offerings, our lives and actions? Are they pleasing to God? Are they a little stinky? I know mine can be. Do you really live for God? Or are we pretending to live for God while we pursue all our hopes and dreams and sort of fit him in on the side? Jesus really lived for God and for us. He did not withhold love. Jesus loved us and gave himself up for us. Love gives. What do we need to do to give in love? Are you thinking of someone right now that you need to love better? What can we do about it? We don't just stumble into this kind of love. Gospel love is intentional. Gospel love walks at the pace of Jesus, imitating God with each step, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in. We have to choose gospel love as Christ chose it. He trusted the Father's plan, resolved to do the will of God, and did the Father's work. Let's pray. Father God, you created our life. You gave the sacrifice. Jesus set the example, and you've given us your word to light our path. Help us to imitate you with everything we do. Help our hearts to be forgiving, our words to be loving, and our thoughts to be pure. Go with me as I follow your commands. Go with each of us, Lord, as we follow you with the faith of a child. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.